The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent, which is, we're using those texts today, is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Today our texts are selected verses from Isaiah chapters 2, 7, 9, 11, and 40. The sermon title is The Four Seers, Isaiah. This evening we hear from the selected verses of the messianic prophecies that are found in the book of Isaiah. Depending on how you identify messianic prophecies, there are more prophecies about the coming of Christ in Isaiah than in any other book of the Bible. This explains why George Frederick Handel's well-known oratorio, The Messiah, has more movements from Isaiah than any other Old Testament book. I counted them the other day just to compare. Isaiah has 16 movements in The Messiah. The Psalms, which are written by several authors, has 12 movements. After that, the pickings get slim. Malachi has 3 movements. And the following books have 1 movement each: Job, Lamentations, Haggai, and Zechariah. And there are also then movements that are based on the New Testament. Now, I cannot tell you why Handel, or his librettist, chose so many texts from Isaiah, other than the fact that there are many messianic texts there, and they are vividly and obviously fulfilled in Jesus. And because they are in Handel's Messiah, they are also the most well-known messianic prophecies in the English-speaking world. Every time that orchestras and choirs get together during this season to perform that oratorio, the witness of Isaiah and the other prophets is heard, and the audience hears the essentials of the Christian gospel. We begin with Isaiah chapter 2:2-4, which foresees both the Messiah and the Christian church. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. So far, the first text. The Messiah is here depicted as a lawgiver based in Jerusalem and as a judge between nations. Although this will be perfectly and completely fulfilled when Jesus returns, it has also had an initial and imperfect fulfillment wherever the Christian church has had influence. Wherever the church is gone, it has raised up generations of people who love good laws, justice, and peace. Christians understand that war is one of the plagues sent by God to punish mankind, as the book of Revelation clearly teaches. For 2 millennia, Christians have served in the military, not to spread the plague of war, but to stop it, and to protect the weak and the innocent. Many Christian rulers have also had the same attitude toward war, which led them in April, May, and June 1945 to meet at the War Memorial Opera House on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco to establish the United Nations, which is devoted to peace. Next, we hear from Isaiah chapter 7:13-14. Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." The miraculous sign foretold here is that a virgin would conceive without sexual relations with a man. We all know that is impossible by nature. But nothing is impossible for God. But there's more here to this miracle than simply a virgin birth, which was fulfilled by the Virgin Mary. Her son would be called Emmanuel in Hebrew. God with us in English is one good translation for that name, but a better one is the immanent God, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T. It has the Hebrew in part of that English word, the immanent God. It means that the virgin son would be God on earth, not just God in heaven. And that is the surpassing miracle of all, along with the fact that he continues to be on earth in his real presence in the sacrament of the altar. Next, we hear from Isaiah chapter 9, 2-7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across the shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here Isaiah continues to develop this theme of the child born to the virgin that we just heard in Isaiah chapter 7. Here, his royal prerogatives and duties are clearly set forth. The Messiah will be a king, the perfect judge, and his kingdom will continue forever into eternity. Little wonder, then, that the people of the Jewish and Islamic religions don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They are expecting a king who will rule from the city of Old Jerusalem, and Jesus doesn't do that yet. The book of Revelations makes clear that Jesus will come back and will rule an eternal kingdom of peace from the New Jerusalem. In the meantime, he rules over a temporal kingdom of grace in the hearts of those who believe in him and who wait for him. So when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," we are asking Jesus to both rule in our hearts today and to someday rule in his eternal kingdom as foreseen by Isaiah. Next, we look at Isaiah chapter 11, 1-9. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Here the genealogy of the Messiah is made clear. Isaiah chapter 9 foresaw that the Messiah would rule on David's throne. Here it is clear that he will be a direct descendant of David. That's the reference to Jesse and the branch. And he will thus be heir to all the promises given to David and Solomon by God. As you know, Jesus was a descendant of David on both Mary's and Joseph's side. This Isaiah 11 passage also depicts the Messiah as a fair and just judge, and his rule as one that is so peaceful that even the predators and prey among animals get along peacefully. We finish with the stirring prophecy of Isaiah 40, which we heard most of it in just previously in our lessons. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with the shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Here is foreseen the payment for all the sins of the world by Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. It says of the spiritual Jerusalem, her sin has been paid for. It's a done deal. And then Isaiah foresees the one calling out and preaching in the desert. He says, the one in the desert says, behold your God. Hearing this and many other messianic prophecies by Isaiah and the prophets, the believers among the Israelites waited for their Messiah, and they waited for the prophet who would appear in the desert. And then they went into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. And then they came back, and they kept waiting for the Messiah and the prophet who would appear in the desert. They waited another 500 years. And then John the Baptizer appeared. In Jesus, our Savior's name, amen.